Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
God, and I pray that this word would impact me as well as all who listen. In Jesus' name, amen. It's part two of the preference series. Somebody say preference. Preference, real quick again, is a greater liking for one alternative over another or others. Amen. We have some people have a preference for jogging, or it says in here, it says a preference for long walks and tennis over jogging. Right? Like I said last week, I have a preference to play basketball for my cardio workout over getting on the treadmill and slaving for that long time. I don't know about it. For me, it's just something in my mind when I can go against somebody else, makes it a little bit easier. But you, as I said last week, your preference will either draw you to God or away from God. Amen? You have to prefer God in this life that we are living. I constantly tell my wife every week, I can have a sermon off driving these people in Uber and Lyft every week, because there's just something that comes up that I can use in a sermon. But before that, as I was praying, God was telling me, how many of us have been to a restaurant before? We've been to restaurants. They give you something. When you first get into the restaurant, it's called a menu, right? Now, you usually, or 99.9% out of the time, you order what you prefer, right? You order what you want. If you go to a restaurant and they don't have what you want, sometimes you'll get up and get out of there because you prefer to have that, right? Well, life is a menu. You guys, catch me. Life is a menu, and your choice or what you prefer is what you're going to choose. And check this out. Sometimes you're going to pay for what you choose. At a restaurant, you always got to pay, right? I'll even say this. Even if you prefer to do the right thing, there's going to be times where you have to pay for it. Amen? I was in a restaurant today. It's a Toshio's teriyaki place right off of Rainier. And I was in the bathroom, and and there were scriptures on the wall. Matter of fact, we're going to go to this scripture. I like how God just does stuff like this. It was Psalms 91, verses 13 through 16 or something like that. I'm going to go to it real quick. Psalms 91, my dad just read this a couple weeks ago. Verse 14 through 16. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Okay? Now, why do I read this? Because when I read this, this is somebody that's preferring God. Right? It says, because he, that's, and when I was in the restaurant, it said, instead of saying he or she, just say you. Because Marquise has set himself, that's okay, you don't have to move it. Because Marquise has set his love upon God, therefore God will deliver Marquise. You see how that works? But see, it's something that you must prefer. I have to set my love up for God. Yesterday evening, they had like some kind of tolo dance or formal dance at the UW, and I dropped some people off, and three young ladies, they were like, I gotta get out of this place. This is horrible. This is dull party. Can you get me out of here? And I was like, well, you know, you have to ride with one of the companies because, you know, just insurance reasons. So I get him a ride, and then they start asking me about, you know, basically somebody cheated on one of her friends or something like that. And they're like, how you feel about cheaters? And I said, well, I didn't even answer that. I said, I've been married almost 11 years, and one thing I look at is being faithful, right? And, you know, I said it's very important that you learn faithfulness, but you have to prefer that, right? If I just prefer to get the best looking person, that changes based on my preference, right? I can prefer this person for 20 minutes until somebody else comes in looking better, and then I prefer that person. But if my heart and what I do is to prefer my wife, or in this situation, well, I'm just going to put it in that situation, my wife over other people, I have placed that higher than any other preference. And you must learn how to do that, not only with relationships on earth, but with your relationship with God. We have to prefer to spend time with God over spending time with other things. Amen? It's very important that we do this. Now, let's go back. The restaurant had this in there, and then I walked out of the bathroom, and they were playing KCMS, and I was like, oh, man, praise God. You guys are playing Christian music and all kind of stuff. And the lady was like, yeah. She was like, do you listen to that in your car? And I was like, no, I listen to Christian rap more than that kind of music. But I have listened to it. And she was like, wow. And what I told her, I said, man, it's powerful that you use your business to represent God. You know? And while I was saying this, there was people behind me, and you know what happens. They acting funny. Right? They don't even want to order after I said all that. Then they're going to go sit outside because they don't want to be in the place. And I was like, okay, well, hey. But this is a preference that she has made, right? I just started driving for a different company similar to the same company I work for. And in the description, I can just put, hey, I'm an African-American and I love people, right? But when they ask me what kind of music I want to listen to, guess what kind of music I put on there? Christian rap, right? And jazz. I play gospel jazz anyway. But then I said in my description, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a father of four, I love God, and I love people. You know, I could have left all that other stuff out based on, oh, man, people might not ride with me because da-da-da-da. But I prefer to choose God over rides, to tell you the truth. Some rides I could do without. But we have to learn to prefer God over these other things. Amen. In your businesses, in your everyday outgoings, you have to learn to put God higher than any and every other thing, because the Bible says there's a couple scriptures that we have to look at, that you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. Between the one, you will be torn, or between the two, you will be torn. But that's what people do if they can't prefer God over these things. See, that's why you see people that come in and say, hey, I want to give my life to God. I want to do this. But when it comes to them choosing God over whatever, they haven't made that strong enough in their mind yet, in their spirit, so they continue to go back and forth. But you have to prefer God and walk this out. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through 18. We're going to read this again. We started reading it last week. We are going to read it again. Joshua verse 24. Is my iPad back there? Have a little Keys bring it up for me. Deacon Keys, come on. You say what? Hallelujah. Now, we read this last week, and I kind of got excited and only got half of this scripture. And I was like, man, I'll just do the rest of it later. But we want to read this to know a few things. know that one, that even before Jesus came, they had to prefer God, right? They had to choose God over all the other gods. And it's the same today. We're dealing with the exact same type of situation that the Israelites were, but now we clearly know who God is. Amen? So let's go to Joshua, verse 24 through 18. I'm sorry. And this is kind of right before Joshua passes away. This is his last words for pretty much while he was on earth, or is getting close to his last words. It says this. Now, therefore, this is what he's telling them. Get ready. I'm about to shake. All right. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. All right. Sincerity. What does that word mean? Sincerity. Anybody know? You know, you can't do that. He tried to use the word inside of it. To be sincere is to be faithful in it, to stand strongly on something. I'm going to actually get a definition up. Maybe somebody can look that up for me. Sincere and in truth. There you go. Earnestly desiring. It says, free from pretense or deceit, proceeding from genuine feelings. All right? So when we are sincere about God, we really believe this thing. Right? How many people are, they get saved, but it's like, this is the best thing until something else comes along. I prefer this right now. But if something better comes, I'm going to be on that thing going, rolling. I'll be on the next train smoking. Right? That's because they don't sincerely believe in God. See, you can't sincere, when you think of the word sincere, that requires faith. Amen? And the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. So we have to be sincere. It says serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the rivers and in Egypt. Then he says again, serve the Lord. This is a preference. They're going to have to prefer God over all these other gods. Now, like I said, we may not be bowing down. Most of us are not bowing down these days. But there are things that we bow down to. Your schedule even bows down to certain things. Did you know that? Right? If somebody says, hey, let's go on a vacation. Guess what? That vacation is going to have to, it might have to wait because I got to get it clear from this person at my job because I work a job. If you work a job, you got to get things cleared, right? So it might not be able to work. That's how some things work. Even in your schedule, you have to choose what you prefer. Now, let me be clear about something. You might prefer to go on a vacation, right? But you prefer to keep your job as well. And your job is going to be the thing that you're going to choose to keep. Right? Unless it's a job that you just need to get rid of. But we have to serve the Lord. And verse 15 says, and it seems evil to you to serve the Lord. Choose for yourself. Matter of fact, he said, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So as I look at that, this was a decision that Joshua had already made up. Not only did he make it up, he made it up for his household. We're not going to do what those people do, right? Now, like I was telling my parents, when you go through some of these neighborhoods and through some of these colleges at nighttime, it is so crazy. Like the parties, man, like I'm like, man, I need to come to a concert down here. Like, cause it's that they wouldn't even know that I was there because there's so much other stuff going on. Right? But these people prefer to do those type of things on a weekend. What? I don't know why, but 90, I don't even know the percentage. But when you start counting the people, it's like everybody is going and doing this thing. So it's like this is what they prefer. Why do they prefer it? Because they think they're having a good time. I think we had a sermon before where we were talking about hope, joy, and all those things that we don't have hope and joy in the same things that they have hope and joy in. Why? Because one of the things is their thing is they don't even have joy. They have happiness. And it only lasts while they're with other people or while they're doing other things. Oh, they're excited about things. But how many know happiness doesn't last? But the joy of the Lord is your strength. And even when you feel down, the joy will keep you and encourage you to stay up. Amen. It says in verse 16, so the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our father up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in a way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Now, even if you're having trouble trying to see why you prefer God in your life, you have to look at the things that he did. When you look at this scripture, they clearly said God brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out of bondage. Now, we can even see some of the people that were brought out of bondage saying they wanted to go back to bondage. Because that's really what they preferred. Right? They did not prefer to be in the wilderness. Right? And I'll say this. We can equate some of our trials and tribulations to the wilderness. I believe all of us go through a wilderness experience. That's when you're saved. You're walking with the Lord. He's delivered you. But on the way, you're going to go through a wilderness experience that's either going to make you say, I am going to prefer God, or I'm going to go back to the world. Because when I was in the world, I didn't have these kind of problems. Because when I was in the world, I didn't have to fast. I ate what I wanted to eat, right? I ate onions and that's what the Israelites were saying. Onions and garlic, right? Man, I don't know. I was like, man, they should have just, they didn't have seasonings like we had seasonings. But they did. I'm just saying, like, when they were in the desert, they were missing those seasonings. All right, so they were feeling, they wanted that food, right? But what it really showed is when times got hard in their life, they wanted to go back because that's really what they preferred. And there was plenty of times in the scripture where God, even after a while, God had to wipe them out because they continued to choose Egypt, the bondage of Egypt, the gods of Egypt, all that came with Egypt over God. Amen? And we cannot do that. One thing that happens when you become a believer is your preferences must change. Okay? You can't be saved and do the same things. You can't be saved and prefer to go do the same things that you did before you got saved. That is a mark of not salvation. That is a mark of, hey, I said a prayer and now I'm going to do what I was doing before. Okay? That is not what God accepts or allows. Now, people will do it, right? That's why you see them come to the altar. They say, hey, God, forgive me for my sins. They said the same words we said, right? But it says in the Bible, you must confess and believe with your heart. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. Amen. and he will save you. But you must confess, not only say it, but believe it. The things that you believe will be displayed in how you act. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have to make sure that the things that we believe, we do. Let's start at verse 13 in chapter 5 of Galatians. And I like this. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Okay? So that's something we have to prefer. You have to prefer to serve in the kingdom of God. You guys get that? You can't prefer to be the guy at the seat and tell them, "Hey, come pamper me." That's not the kingdom of God. Jesus came as a servant because that's what he preferred to do. Amen? "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Verse 16 says, "I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, that walking in the Spirit is very important to understanding what you prefer in God or what you prefer in this life. Okay? Spirit is going to go against flesh, and flesh is going to go against spirit. This is a battle that I don't care how long you have been saved, never ends. Okay? So it's really going to come down to, what do you prefer? It's a battle. You have to choose between one or the other, and there is no in between. Okay? Anytime you kind of veer away from the spirit, you are walking in the flesh. But we must walk in the spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you walk in the flesh, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you won't fulfill what the Spirit of God wants you to fulfill. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, let's get back to preference. When we think about something that we prefer, one thing that we, when you think of somebody that is led by the Spirit, is that person has preferred to yield to the Spirit of God. Amen? What does that mean? Okay, Spirit of God, I want to do this, but is this okay? God, this is part of letting him be your Lord. I always say this. A lot of people say, "Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior." What does that mean? And they have no clue. Besides, he died for me, right? But you can't forget the Lord part. When he's Lord, everything I do must go through him. Meaning, I have to make sure it's okay with him. How does that happen? Well, a lot of times we learn what's okay with God through the Word of God. Now, there's a lot of people that say, "Oh, God is not against blah, blah, blah. God is not against this. God is not against that." But if we read the Word, it clearly says he's against that. Right? But they haven't let God be the Lord over their life. So they look at that scripture and be like, "We can get rid of that. I can still make it into heaven. I can still do the things I really want to do." But that's not what the Word of God says. It says in verse 18, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now we're gonna break down what it looks like to be under the flesh. And this is some things that people prefer. Okay? It says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." What does that mean? Clear. Okay? And it could have just left it like that, but just in case some people had questions of what it meant to be clear, they broke it down. Said, "Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So, if you prefer to live a life in these different things, you're not going to inherit what God has for you. Okay? That's what we got to remember. So your preference, something that should help weigh what your preference is as a believer, I want to be part of the kingdom of God. And if I do things that are walking in the flesh, I'm just saying, hey, I'm doing the same thing Esau did. I don't need that birthright. I'm good. Let me take what I got here now because I don't see the value in that. Right? Let's break it down just in layman's terms. If you have, what's a nice car? I'll give you a nice car. I saw a new Bentley. I can't remember what it's called. It's the SUV Bentley. And it only got four seats. I don't know what the deal is with that. Right? If you're going to get a Bentley and it's an SUV, make it seven seats. But I'm just saying, that's my preference. So this new Bentley costs a lot of money, like all these other high-end cars. Now, if people drive those type of cars, they value them to the point where some people park super far from where they need to walk, right? And sometimes they park in two lanes, or other times they don't even drive it, right, Mom? Why? Because they understand its value, right? But they might have other cars, and they're not as valuable. So they'll drive that one everywhere. But this is my special event car, right? But they learned to value the car because they understand its value. We have to understand the value of the kingdom of God. And when we understand that's value or its value, we do not allow ourselves to take the okie doke or something else that is not as valuable as the kingdom of God. That's why you have people, like I said earlier, going and picking different things in their lives because they don't see the value of themselves in the kingdom of God. But when you see the value of, man, I'm a child of God, and I'm not going to trade this for anything. I'm going to walk in the Spirit of God because he called me to walk in the Spirit. I'm not just going to do anything because I have a purpose. I have a plan on my life. When you start living and thinking like that, it keeps you from walking in the flesh because you value what God has done. There's a scripture in Hebrews that talks about that person that repented, but they keep on going back, and they desire to go back. And Paul, I think it was Paul, he told them that you cannot crucify the Lord Jesus Christ over and over again, right? And we don't do that. I don't see anybody telling Jesus come down and try to crucify him again. But what they were saying is you cannot continue to walk in sin continually. And that's what you desire. See, this is the thing. Some of us, we might slip up, and I talk about this a lot. You might mess up, right? But you repent of that. And part of repenting is not doing it again. Amen? It's not. And then what happens is as you begin to repent, you begin to not even desire to want to do that thing. Because you're like, man, I made God feel sad. Right. So I think when we think about the things that we prefer, we have to think about what we do. Does it make God happy? If we don't have a relationship with God, we don't care whether it makes him happy. All we care about is if I'm happy. But you have to prefer God's feelings. Amen. Here's some things to walk in. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is walking in the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who have I'm sorry, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Okay? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse 24, let's read it again. It says, and those who are Christ's, which means they belong to him, have crucified the flesh with his passions and his desires. You have to prefer to crucify that. Those old thoughts, that those old triggers. My dad calls this, this is one of my dad's favorite things to say. Euphoric recall, right? What happens is, what euphoric recall is, you remember some of the things you did in the past, but you don't remember any of the consequences that went with it. Right? I remember when, oh man, can you remember? And then you get around your friends, hey dude, do you remember that time that yeah, I do, yeah. But you don't remember you sat in jail for 20 days after that. Right? And you don't want the jail, but the devil is sneaky enough to make people, I mean, even if you think about the Israelites wanting to go back to Egypt, what in their right mind would make them say that? You were getting beaten, whipped, making bricks without all the ingredients, slaving, right? And I mean, you pretty much did whatever the Egyptians told you to do because you were a slave. But they wanted to go back to that just so they could taste some of the same food they ate that probably had mud on it. Right? Because that's what they preferred. I don't get it. I don't get it. But they had a euphoric recall moment. Right? Where all they remembered was the food. They didn't remember getting beat. Right? Now, I'll tell you something. If my kids do something that they know they got a whooping for and they do it again, I don't even have to pull the belt out because they're like, man, I shouldn't have did that. Right? And they're like, oh, I'm not going to do that again because I understand the consequence of that. But these people, and not only these people, but people that have accepted God still go back to that old Egypt. Why do I say that? Because Paul describes it. Hebrews describes it. He says these people are the ones that turn back. They didn't want to follow God all the way. Even when things come in our life, we have to make sure we prefer God over any and everything else. Amen? You have to have a desire to do the will of God. Amen? These are the things that we must prefer. We have to prefer to walk in love. We have to prefer to walk and have joy, even when everything in the world tries to take it away. Man, what the old people say, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. They can if you let it, though, right? If I have joy, I'm excited. Oh, praise God. I walk outside, somebody just keyed my car, right? That's something that'll take some people's joy away. Oh, I'm going to get, okay, I'm going to find out. Oh, I know who it was. Two, I'm going to get that person. You allowed your joy to be taken away because you preferred to walk in your flesh at that moment over your spirit. And now you're not walking in peace, which is the next one. Amen? The Bible says that God, when God gives us the peace that surpasses understanding, what does that mean? When I can't even understand why I'm remaining calm or relaxed, I still have peace. Because that's what God has given. If I'm walking in the Spirit. See, a lot of Christians, if they are not walking in the Spirit, they don't have peace. Why? Because they are in a bad place with their relationship with God. Because if you walk in the flesh, you're not fulfilling the will of God. And you're not going to have peace. Now, this is a weird one. Long suffering. When we think about long suffering, people look at that word and be like, why is that in the Bible? Right? Why is that a fruit of the Spirit? Because it teaches you to trust God. The long suffering that the Israelites faced in Egypt made them, it showed them what they preferred. It showed Moses. Moses, I mean, like, you guys got to imagine Moses' job. They said it was something like 1 million people, right? Moses is taking 1 million people, and all they did was complain. God, we're thirsty. Hit a rock, water come out. God, we're hungry. Grass is producing bread. Quails is falling out the sky because I don't know why, but God allowed it to happen. But they constantly nagged to the point where it caused Moses to jump in the flesh. You guys know that? Moses hit this rock, and instead of doing it the way God told him to do, he did it his own way. And this incident allowed Moses not even to go into the promised land, which is crazy. You would think, Moses, oh, God, this is Moses. Like, Moses, the same guy that's talking to God, his face is glowing, but at that moment, that long suffering caused Moses to snap. And he missed what God had for him. Because he didn't allow his preference to still choose God in that moment. Now, I'm not saying Moses didn't make it to heaven. I'm pretty sure he did. As a matter of fact, I'm definite he did. Right? But it shows us the importance of making sure you prefer God at all times. Amen? At all times, even when things are going crazy. Kindness, that's something that we always have to walk in. We have to learn to be kind, even to people that are not kind to us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That fruit of the Spirit is not conditional. It doesn't say kindness if people are kind to you. You have to show kindness. You have to show goodness even when people are not good to. Oh, my goodness. You show it anyway. Like, these people are. Show them goodness. Amen. Faithfulness to walk in the Spirit of God. We have to remain faithful, which also means we have to stay faithful despite other people not being faithful. Amen. We all know people that have come to church, have lived this thing out, but at one moment in their life, they said, hey, I'm going to go do what I need to do now. I tried it, and it was good, but I want more out of life. They're no longer faithful. Your goal is to remain faithful. Amen? If you want to prefer God. Gentleness. We have to be gentle. Always, we also have to have self-control. Amen. These are not things that people just make up just so we can say, hey, it's good. Christians should have self-control. No, you still have to have self-control. Guess what? Self-control will help you choose what God wants you to choose. But a lot of times people can't control themselves. Right? How many of you know people that say, oh, man, I wanted to do it, but I couldn't. Right? I wanted to live for the Lord, but I just couldn't do it. I tried and I tried and I tried, but I just couldn't do it. That's because they haven't learned self-control. Right? I mean, and we all got to learn it in certain ways. One part of self-control, I cannot just go home and eat everything in a refrigerator. Right? Even though I'm hungry. Right? I let my kids tell you, I'm hungry, Dad. I need to eat something. I want to eat everything. Some people say, I want to eat a horse. Right? But you got to have self-control. I picked these people up from a buffet today. And I was like, hey, man, what'd you guys eat? Don't talk to me about any food. Right? And they went to this. It was a nice place. And, you know, I'm just trying to see what they ate. And one guy was like, man, I got my money's worth. He said, if I would have went to a restaurant, right, that that and I had to pay the same, I would have spent over $200 on the food I ate. And I was like, man, you got to learn self-control. Even on Thanksgiving, which is our, some people's splurge time, what I've learned to do is, if I eat smaller plates and just spread it out, I can still eat what I want to eat, right? My first place, let me just get one plate. If it's my parents' house, I can take some home anyway, right? I go to the next place, get one plate. Now, there's nothing worse than eating too much and you laying on the floor because you can't move, right? Some people eat themselves like that, right? I mean, especially on Thanksgiving. Oh, man, I'm about to get fat this Thanksgiving, right? Why? Because they don't know how to control themselves. And let me tell you something. You only cook on Thanksgiving because you decide to cook on Thanksgiving. You could cook the same stuff all year round, right? But because it's a holiday, people think like that. But we must make sure we have the fruits of the Spirit and walk in those and prefer those over walking in the flesh. Amen? We're going to close here for today. Hallelujah. If it's been impactful to you, just go ahead and slip your hand up. If you learned something that's going to help you this week, praise God. Let's put it into action. Amen? Let's walk and prefer the things of God rather than what we want. Heavenly Father, I just pray to God today, dear God, that you would just begin to allow us, oh God, to continually choose you. Choose to please you, choose to love you, and choose to and desire you over any and every other thing else in this life, oh God. I pray to God and thank you, dear God, that you're going to continue to build our desire for you. Dear God, as we pray, and as we spend time with you, oh God, even allow us to desire more of that in our own lives, oh God. And I pray to God that you be with us, keep us, and allow us to prefer you over all these other things. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen. Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.